Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian and Michael here, and we appreciate you listening to us wherever that might be. iTunes, Stitcher, the Downcast app, even on TuneIn as well. So many different places you can listen to us. And, of course, at BetweenTheRopes.com. We appreciate it, and we really appreciate when you rate us or you review us. We need the feedback. We like the feedback. We want the feedback. So any of that, we are grateful for. How are you doing tonight, Michael?
I am doing fantastic, Brian. How are you?
Busy day. There's a lot going on right now in the wrestling business.
It's like ever since we got back from Mania. I mean, Mania is the big thing every year, right? People come to the site. People are all into wrestling. But it's been like, God, ever since we landed last week back in our respective states, that news has been breaking left and right.
Yeah, you know, it really has been. And then we were even talking before you started taping the podcast about, man, all the things going on in the entertainment world about our TV shows, because Walking Dead just finished the season, and Better Call Saul finished the season, and Mad Men is back, and Game of Thrones is coming back on Sunday. There's a lot going on.
Let's just talk about some Walking Dead. Keep popping it up right here.
Oh, man. Walking Dead. You know what? I know some people had some mixed feelings about the second half of the season, but, man, I just love that show.
I don't know if I love it as much as I used to. I think it was a lot better around season two and three. Season three, I think, was kind of the peak. But yeah, it's good. It's real good stuff.
Well, it's really deep now with all the different layers and the characters and, you know, how well you know everybody, or how well you think you know everybody. And, you know, is Rick morphing into the people that the group has already fought against? You know, things like that, and kind of the balance of everything. And then, you know,
are we doing like a surprise cheap pops in
basically
here?
Like, yeah, I just pop. Like I just like that Rick is like the trained assassin now. Like, he has, you know, kill him, do away with that guy, bam, right. He just kills him. He doesn't care. And by the way, if you haven't watched Walking Dead, we spoiled it, so
kind of. You didn't really spoil what happened or who he, yeah,
you got to keep up on the show.
It's up on your TV shows, people.
Yeah, you got to keep up on.
We're gonna spoil it. That's what we do. It's called the Spoiler Pops Podcast.
No. We're not spoiling too much. Well,
we can start doing it's a spoiler. We just spoil everything. Spoil Everything Podcast, brought to you by Between the Ropes.
There are certain people that are on social media that will tell you in advance, like, "Hey, man, I'm going to be live tweeting this show. If you have a problem with it, do not follow me."
Right.
You know, because that's what they want to do, and you got to be aware of that. So.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Since WWE kind of kicks off its new season every year, right after WrestleMania, are we kicking off our new season here at Between the Ropes?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do you have our music ready?
I can't say that I do.
Okay.
The reason I can't is because I don't.
Well.
But I am actually working towards this. I did get a new piece of equipment. It's not a new piece of equipment. It's new to me, but I did get a piece of equipment that could help us if we want to actually start using some music and other elements.
I want some circus music. That's what I want.
Oh, you want some circus music?
So when I say hit my music, that's what I expect.
That's when the clowns are coming in?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, maybe we can do that. Let's actually go back to last week, because that's where we did not get to the story last week when we did the podcast. But one of the biggest pieces of news over the past week is that former three-time WWE Divas Champion AJ Lee retired. And it was interesting the way that WWE.com posted the story, because they said she retired from the WWE. And I just thought the wording was kind of curious. Is she going to pop up someplace else? I don't know. And I don't even know when that could even happen, because she was under contract there. Now, the common belief is she was put in a pretty bad situation, considering her husband is CM Punk. We know about the way he left the company. We know there's an ongoing lawsuit against him for things that he said following leaving the company. I thought WWE did a nice job of, you know, not taking it out on her. And I think they also had to play nice because of that lawsuit. But, you know, she won at WrestleMania. The following night, she was in the Six Diva Tag and Raw. And then WWE did a very nice announcement on Raw this week talking about how she retired. And, you know, they even mentioned the tweet that she put out there about follow your dreams. So I don't know what's next for her, but I thought WWE did a good job in that. And I don't think it really surprised anybody. But at the same time, it did kind of, maybe it's one of those things we should have been looking at, but it just kind of came out of nowhere. And this all comes, you know, after she had just returned from a neck injury or whatever it was. She was out for several months, even longer than expected. And then now, you know, following WrestleMania, she is gone.
It was so weird when that news came up and you start seeing things on the internet that say AJ Lee retires, because it was Friday evening late and it was right. It was dinner time. And you just don't expect news like that on a Friday evening when superstars are off, because she was relatively young in her career. At the peak, she was main eventing for Divas, WrestleMania, very popular. Her merchandise sold very well. She kind of had a lot of freedom to do what she wanted to. So for that to happen and kind of feel like it came out of left field, I thought this kind of thing could have happened last summer. You talked about CM Punk. That's the kind of time that you expected her to maybe walk away or to reconsider her position, or maybe WWE would hold her back a little bit more, but they didn't. She came out and won the title again, stayed in that main slot for the women for a number of months into WrestleMania. It's a huge shock to me, and I almost wonder – I don't want to play, you know, rumor mongering here, but I almost wonder if maybe she is pregnant. Maybe we got a little bitty AJ Lee on the way, or there's something else going on for her to say, you know what, I'm hanging up the chucks.
I don't know. And like I said, she was put in an awkward position. Like, you know, do you want to continue your career? Do you feel comfortable about it? You want to support your husband, but if you want to really make a name for yourself in this business, especially as a diva, it needs to be with the WWE. So, you know, it's really hard to kind of gauge all that and be stuck in the middle of it, because no matter what you say or what you do, you're really choosing between your husband and the mm-hmm. company that you work for. And even if he can kind of understand that, it's tough because the WWE is suing her husband for $1 million.
Right.
Okay. Which affects her too. So, you know, it was a really tough position, but she's still really young. I don't know if she's going to continue in wrestling. And even if she does, I don't know when that would be. Because like I said, you know, she was under contract with WWE. I'm sure she can't leave until at least that contract would end. And then she could pop up someplace else. And who knows? Maybe she said, you know what? I followed my dreams. I accomplished everything I want in the wrestling business. It's time for me to move on to my next chapter in life.
Right. Again, do you really think that's what happened?
I kind of do.
Okay. I don't. I think it's weird. I think there's something else going on. I'm not saying that there's something scandalous going on, but something as simple as, you know what? I'm done with wrestling because I want to be a mom. Or, you know, again, just weird timing. You remember she called out Stephanie back in February? I posted this in our article on BetweenTheRopes.com for the inequality in women's pay.
Right. And that was the whole give Divas a chance thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you could tell she was somebody that was not concerned about what happened.
Yeah.
Like, she could do it and was just like, you know what? If something bad happens from this, so be it. You know, she was not going to be worried about it. So, you know, it's great to be in that position where you don't have to worry about any kind of backlash. Because maybe she already knew, like, hey, I already have an agreement set up, and after WrestleMania, I'm out of here.
Right.
So, yeah. Who knows? Let's get into Raw a little bit. Raw on Monday night went up against the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game. And it almost seemed to me that WWE not only knew about it, but said, all right, we know we're going to get thrashed tonight, so we're not going to give you anything. And on top of that, it was almost... I had this feeling that Vince McMahon's sitting there going, you want to boo my main event from the previous week? You don't like the big guys? Oh, I'll show you. I'm going to put them on this show again. And I'm going to put them all in singles matches. Oh, and by the way, some of the other guys...
I'm not going to put on the guys you like.
Right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the guys that are the baby faces in that match, I'm going to put them on twice. Yeah, that's right. I was sitting there midway through that show, and I knew it. And I saw Ryback have that really quick match with Luke Harper, which is fine. It was like a 3-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, for whatever reason, didn't hit me before, but it dawned on me then going, wait a second. I got to see Ryback work another match tonight? What?
Right. Right.
And they are just hell-bent. Hell-bent. I'm putting out Kane and Big Show every week in a prominent role. Big Show worked his butt off. I will say that. He worked his butt off against Roman Reigns. And then they did the DQ finish, or was it DQ or count out or whatever it was. I think it was DQ for Kane against Randy Orton. So they did all that. But man, oh man. Remember, this is a show that, okay, I know that they're going on the European tour. We did not get Dean Ambrose. We did not get Daniel Bryan. Now, mind you, some of that with Daniel Bryan is because of 7 stitches he got in his head from his physical match that he had with Sheamus last week. And that was on SmackDown. And we didn't have, I don't think we had Dolph Ziggler on the show. Is that correct?
Dolph Ziggler was nowhere to be found either.
Yeah, okay. So we were missing all of those guys. So that's why they had to do what they did and just used everybody a couple of times. So, real quick, too, I mentioned that the Sheamus-Daniel Bryan match from SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really good match.
Yes.
Did you think it was too physical?
No. I didn't have that reaction when I saw it. It was rough.
There were some people that thought it was a reckless match.
Okay. I think that's really hard to judge unless you're there.
Yeah, and I know Daniel Bryan got split open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how it happened, but to me, it's one of two things that happened. One, he either headbutted Sheamus so hard that he split his head, which is very likely because, remember, he was giving him a series of headbutts. Or two, after that series and falling off the apron, he went into the announcer's table or in that vicinity, and maybe he hit his head on something. I don't know. I just know that at that second, he popped up. And his head was cut, and he was bleeding pretty profusely. And if he hadn't had a physical enough match, Wade Barrett just freaking spiked him with a bullhammer.
I think that it's really easy to say that was a physical match, maybe a little bit reckless. I think sitting on the couch at home, you can say that. It's easy to throw out words like that, but I really do feel like that's kind of armchair quarterbacking to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
These guys... everything they do is brutal. You know, that ladder match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title, that was a brutal match.
Right.
And but that was a not intentionally reckless, but any match involving a ladder like that, very, very dangerous, very, 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 very reckless.
Well, you can expect that, though, on that form right there, because that is WrestleMania.
Right.
So we know they're going to try to go that extra step there. Sure. But when it comes to a SmackDown match, I don't think it was reckless, but it was physical. And Sheamus loves working a physical style. And quite frankly, I think Daniel does as well. I mean, he's not one that's going to back down from being snug.
Yeah.
So.
And then those guys are going to go out there. I mean, we can say, well, it's only SmackDown. Those guys are going to go out there and do their best. I mean, they're going to perform every night, every way they can, and, you know, give it their all. So. Whatever, maybe it was too physical, but these guys are wrestlers and they have that old school mentality. Sheamus and Daniel Bryan both. I mean, some people don't like Sheamus that much for whatever reason, but Sheamus is as old school as they come. He comes from the European style. It's very tough, very roughneck, and they're going to put on a good show, maybe to their own health's detriment, you know.
We did not get Michael Cole on Raw like we thought we were going to, still selling the injuries of one Brock Lesnar.
So that injury is deadly. Listen.
I guess, man. Well, Byron Saxton's back. JBL had surgery last week and was toughing it out because he had a torn abductor wall, but yet was there on Raw. And in Booker T, I can't remember what the injury he suffered from Brock, but he was there, obviously.
He was suffering from boring announcer itis. Oh, wait, that was his general demeanor every week on Raw.
But both of them were talking throughout the show about how Brock Lesnar deserved to be suspended, and he should have. He was lucky he wasn't fired, and this and that. And I thought, yeah, you were the guys that got hurt, but at the same time, Lesnar's supposed to be babyface. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of curious the way they did that. But, man, I thought it was interesting that, you know, they had made it sound like Cole was going to be back on the show this week, and they didn't have him on there. And they were still talking about how he was dealing with, like, a disc issue in his back or in his neck. So, you know.
They didn't do a very good job of kind of checking in with him that much. They mentioned him, but it was kind of very much on the, Michael Cole's not here. We're going to joke around a whole lot, you know.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I know people are getting on Byron Saxton. That's fine. He's a big boy. He could take it. Super nice guy. But, you know, he's in the pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's there on Raw. I really thought that JBL and Booker T, and I don't know if they were instructed to do this or just taking the bull by the horns or whatever, but I thought they stepped over him a lot. Maybe some of that is because he did leave some dead air. But they really took advantage of saying, we're going to talk more. And that's one of those where if I was Byron, unless they were instructed to do that, that's one of those where he has to grab control. Yeah. I really think because you are the play-by-play guy. And, yes, each person has their own role, but you've got to just take charge. And I know it's against two veterans and everything, but, damn, man, you're the play-by-play guy. Do it. And I just think he needs to up his volume a little bit more and be a little bit more emotional, be a little bit more passionate with his call. He's still trying to finding his groove, I think. Yeah. And that's something that, luckily for him, he can continue doing on SmackDown because he's not going to be on Raw after this week. Well, we don't think. I expect Cole to be back next week. So it just goes to show, Michael Cole does a fantastic job. It's a very difficult job. But Cole does a fantastic job in what he does because he's serving so many different people while he's out there. And a three-man booth is difficult enough, and he's got somebody in his ear, and he's got to get all these plugs in and everything. So, you know, Saxton has gotten that experience now. It's a little bit different on SmackDown, obviously, because it's a tape show. And I hope he can continue to grow in that role. And we'll see if, you know, he can continue to be a play-by-play guy on that stage and get another opportunity. Because I think there's definitely a spot for him with the company. It's just whether or not it's him being a play-by-play guy or not.
He, you know, we're talking about Cole for a second. I think Cole's one of those guys I've become a lot more sympathetic towards. Back in, you know, 2010, people were all railing on Cole. I was right there with them. Michael Cole, blah, 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 G-D-Y-C, right? Since the last, I would say since he had that really annoying heel run and he kind of came out of that, Cole is your consistent guy. And if you want to see how professional and how good Cole is, just compare him with what Byron Saxton has been doing the last couple of weeks. No offense to Saxton, but you see the presence that Cole brings to that position, everything he balances out, the way he calls things. There's just this level of consistency about Michael Cole and the position he's been put in that to me is still very impressive. I don't think he's the greatest of all time, but I think he is well underrepresented and underrespected for what he does bring to that. And,
absolutely.
It was weird Monday night. All of the announcing was weird. I felt like from the get-go that Booker T was just no-selling Byron Saxton. I don't know if you picked up on that, but right at the beginning of the show, they go over to ringside. JBL's jumping in. Byron Saxton's saying a few things. They both turn to look at Booker T, and Booker T says nothing. And then Saxton has to kind of pick it back up. So it was just a weird dynamic, and you're right. He'll get some time to kind of sow his oats, as they say. SmackDown's a great place to do it. It's served well for Cole, for Taz in the past. But yeah, I just also, it makes me miss Josh Matthews, because Josh Matthews was the kind of guy that could come in there and take over that position that Byron Saxton is trying to take over and do it well. And they've had some good guys come through those doors. Saxon's just got a lot of work ahead of him.
He does, you know. And the other thing is, too, they've got other people that are chomping at the bit there. Because remember, if they don't feel confident in his work, I apologize, but the NXT announcer whose name escapes me right now, they could use him.
Corey Graves.
No, not just Corey Graves, but who's the lead guy?
Oh, you mean what's his name?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
gotcha. And then, you know, obviously you've got Tom Phillips, who's around, who maybe they give him an opportunity. Cal Edwards, formerly known as Arda O'Cal, or the other way around, he's around. And he was even putting out there on Twitter about how he wants to grab the brass ring for announcers. And I'm telling you right now that the next time Michael Cole is not around for Raw, I don't think Byron Saxton's going to get the call. It's going to be Renee Young.
Yes.
And I'm kind of surprised that it didn't happen this time, simply because I think WWE would love the opportunity. Well, number one, Renee does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she would continue to do a really good job in this role. But WWE would love the opportunity to tout, we have a female announcer. We're giving a female this opportunity, something that's never happened before. So they would love to tout that. The interesting thing about Renee is I've never seen her do play-by-play. Well, she did a little in NXT, but most of the stuff that she's done has been like hosting, you know, pre-shows, post-shows, backstage interviews, things like that. So I'm not exactly sure how she would adapt to it, but you know what? She's been very good at everything she's done so far.
And she did some of that in NXT a couple of times. She stood in there and did that. So adaptable. And again, I think that would contrast with some of their other PR scandals they've had lately. The outlash against equal pay that, you know, we brought up earlier in the show. And then, of course, the stuff over the weekend. So any PR is good PR for WWE.
But overall, when it came to Raw this week, nothing really exciting. Nothing really newsworthy. I thought we already...
You mentioned not liking the show that much, and I thought it was a decent show. I know I'm kind of in the minority here about saying that, but there were some decent matches. I liked John Cena and Stardust, and for people who say John Cena doesn't put over any talent, he didn't lose to Stardust, but matches like that help younger guys look really good. So this is a good spot for John Cena, I feel like.
Right. Oh, on that same vein, people that got all over are like, oh, Neville, man, lost to Seth Rollins, man. Way to bury the new guy already. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, Lord.
They put him in there with the world champion, and he went toe-to-toe with him for most of that match.
Yep.
Like, he's not going to beat him, and he shouldn't beat him. Okay? If he has been around for a little while and already got a couple of wins, and this, you know, he has some kind of, like, non-title match or whatever, and it makes sense, maybe somebody else gets involved, kind of like the way that back in the day that Hurricane pinned The Rock with that roll-up, you know, which is a huge thing, maybe something like that. But I know it's only his second match in Raw, but he still had a really good showing for himself, and he lost to the world champion, you know, at the last minute after going toe-to-toe with him. I don't have a problem with that.
Also, this is, while, yes, he is your, you know, your quote unquote chicken heel, Seth Rollins, that is, he's got to have some guys to beat. So he's not going to go out there and beat Roman Reigns each week, even though he's the champion, because that's just the kind of character he is. He's not going to beat Brock Lesnar in fair contest each week, because that's just the kind of heel that he is. But he is supposed to beat the NXT guys, because no matter what, your worst heel, who is a main event level champion, should beat the rookies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, even at that point when Hurricane beat Rock, Hurricane had been around a little while. Rock had was fairly protected in his position. So a roll-up like that doesn't bring him down. If Seth Rollins loses that match, a guy who is still climbing the ranks, your world champion, still climbing the ranks, it looks so much worse for him. So, but he still put over Neville, people. Come on. That is a match where somebody loses and still gets put over.
I thought we already knew last week that Seth Rollins was going to take on Randy Orton for the title at Extreme Rules. Apparently, WWE forgot that they mentioned it. We all just jumped the gun because tonight they had a three-way with the winner getting the next title shot at Extreme Rules. And obviously, it was Roman Reigns, it was Ryback, and it was Randy Orton. And Orton got the win. I don't know why. Here's the other thing, too. Why wouldn't they try to sabotage that whole thing when it came to who got the next title shot and try to make it to where either Kane or Big Show got it? So, and with the thinking that if I get it, they know that they're going to lay down or do the honors for Seth Rollins.
Right.
But instead, it was just like, no. One of the real threats to the championship, they're going to get a title shot. So
why would Kane book three over baby faces into a main event to challenge Seth Rollins when all of them could easily beat him?
I don't know if you know this, but they said this during the opening match. Booker T said this. Did you know that Kane and Randy Orton is a main event anywhere in the world?
Yeah.
Anywhere, right now, in this day, Kane against Randy Orton is a main event anywhere in the world.
Sorry, can you come back to me in about 20 minutes when I'm through laughing?
Yeah, it was the opening match on Raw. How many times have we seen this? Somebody said something about how many times we've seen this match over the last, I don't know, how many years? And they go, God, it feels like they've been feuding for 20 years. And I said, it actually started like 48 AD. Or some, or B, no, 48 BC, even worse.
Oh.
It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, God. See, we got plus we had no Triple H and we had no Stephanie on the show too. And you had no Paul Heyman and you had no Brock Lesnar.
They were on a listen, Triple H and Stephanie were on an island somewhere without any access to the real world.
I guess, man.
Do you believe that for half a second? Obviously this is as we say in the smart mark business, kayfabe, right? Mm-hmm. This is kayfabe, guys. But yeah, really Triple H and Stephanie would ever go somewhere, win one of their big shows that comes on every week that makes them gangbusters money, they would ever go somewhere during that time period where they could not be accessed. Really, guys?
Mm.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Let's see, real quick, other stuff from the show. Brad Maddox is backstage for a really quick segment. I don't know why. Maybe he's going to be on the European tour, which starts Wednesday. Let's see. Seth Rollins and Neville had a pretty good match. Mentioned Cena and Stardust. They had a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Bella and Brie Bella against Paige and Naomi was basically a train wreck.
Yep.
man, they're going to have to polish up Naomi. She needs some work. And, I mean, she's still very inexperienced, I think. But, man, that match fell apart down the stretch.
Yeah, it wasn't too hot.
Yeah. You had the Lucha Dragons against Big E and Xavier Woods.
Good match.
That was pretty good, but not. I mean, Kalisto didn't look as good this week, but as he did the previous week. But the previous week, he was unbelievable. Oh, and by the way, you know, not only are the New Day trying to clap their way to the top, they're apparently willing to also dance their way to the top. And the whole thing is now they're turning heel because they're getting pissed off that people are chanting "New Day sucks," and now we clap, but we snap. Yeah, which sounds great, especially when Big E is impersonating a kid telling them that his group is horrible.
Right.
So
that's pretty good. That's pretty classy. Basically, it sounded like he beat the kid or something.
I don't know, man. I have a question. I do have a question for you, though.
Sure.
When Big Show does a Vader bomb, is it called a Vader bomb or is it called a giant bomb or what's it called?
Anything Big Show does is just a bomb, okay?
Because he did it, bombs. And he landed it. I was like, is that the first time he's ever landed that move? Because it's always been where the guy moves out of the way. And he actually hit it. I was like,
nah, he's hit it before.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes. I would be willing to bet my entire stake in between the ropes on it.
Mm. Well, you don't own any of it. Are you ready?
Ooh, wait. Yeah. I guess you have another co-host coming in right now, so let me take off my headset and enjoy the rest of the show, folks.
Okay, man. Are you ready for the Divas Battle Royal next week for the number one contender for the I can't even say it with a straight face.
God.
My God. Yeah,
does that anything reek anymore of, oh, crap, our diva left? Our diva, singular, left. Mm. So we have to recover from this immediately.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to bring up anybody from NXT. They should. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And it also gives them an out if they don't want to go the route of Naomi for the title shot. Who they put in there? I have no freaking idea. But maybe Natalya, but probably not. So probably still be Naomi, and we'll see what happens. Sheamus beat Mark Henry. Even though he wanted to face little guys, he's talking about, are there any real men left? So Mark Henry comes out. And at first didn't want to fight him, but then he just beat the snot out of Mark Henry.
Right.
And that was that. And then
I don't like that. It was good to see Sheamus come out there and basically say, you don't like the way I look, so what? And then they showed an ad for Mad Max, and it all made sense. So,
by the way, one of the most disappointing things that have happened in a little while to me, they gave away Miz versus Mizdow on Raw. And then on top of that, the people in Austin, Texas were not into this match one bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was okay they had that on Raw because basically they set it up for a part two or a part three with the way the Miz stole that victory, the way the Miz stole that win. But that Austin crowd was weird from the get-go. I mean, let's be honest. They were cheering for Roman Reigns. And if you want to talk about my damaged angle of the week, hashtag another damaged angle, that would have been it, okay? Yeah. No WWE crowd cheers for Roman Reigns. Sorry, y'all. So,
Let's see what else happened on. Yeah, you had that match. Well, then you had the main event, and the main event was fine. It didn't go that long. It's funny because you're doing this main event to see who's going to be the number one contender in a match with 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Orton got the win, hit right back with the RKO. And then afterwards, Rollins came out and curb stomped him and stood tall. And then it was time to go to the network because Chris Jericho was going to interview John Cena.
Then it was time to go to CBS and catch the end of the NCAA championship game.
It's funny you say that because it's exactly what I did. And then I caught up with, you know, the Cena-Jericho conversation. And I do love the whole thing. People were all over Jericho leading into this thing going, and Jericho even pointed out a couple of them on Twitter, like, hey, man, are you going to break kayfabe in your interview? And then people are like, you better be hard on him, man. And then the whole thing was he joked around about how all his questions were pre-screened by Vince McMahon and Jack Tunney.
Jack Tunney.
Yeah. So all this is going on. You know, the tone of the interview between Jericho and
Jack Tunney.
Yeah, I love the Jack
Tunney. Afterwards, he came out and announced Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan too.
Right, but I gotta tell you here for this WWE World Wrestling Federation Championship, the tone that Jericho had compared to Austin when he did this spot was totally different. Or not totally, but it was definitely different because Austin's going to be a lot more straightforward, hardcore answer, ask a lot more follow ups. Chris had his notes, which is perfectly fine, but he kept it a little bit more breezy. You could tell he's definitely friends with Cena. I thought he asked some direct questions, though, and it's just the kind of approach that he wants to have where, yes, I'm going to ask some of the quote-unquote tough questions, but at the same time, I want to make this fun, I want to make it entertaining, and you know we're going to have a couple of laughs along the way, too, but I'll ask some serious questions as well. And I really didn't have a problem with that approach.
Also, I mean, yes, that was going to be Jericho's approach, but also he was interviewing John Cena, which no discredit to the man. That interview was never going to be as interesting as the Triple H interview was or as interesting as the Vince McMahon interview was because those interviews were loaded. What are you going to ask John Cena that's going to really get the internet abuzz? You know, like, oh, you do those five moves of doom, which is what he led with, right?
Right.
And there's nothing really there that John Cena does not have that kind of dart. You can say what you don't put over younger guys, which he obviously does to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going to be salacious, people.
The only thing that I thought that was kind of weird, and this is something that Chris did in his last book, was the drinking stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, who drinks more than who?
Yeah.
Which, you know, each of their own. They were sharing buddy stories on the road and everything. But that's, you know, there was... You mentioned the five moves of doom. They talked about that. They talked about Cena going on the road when he was first coming up. He talked about how he has a great relationship with Vince. Basically, they're on the same page when it comes to what they care about the company. And sometimes there's creative differences, though. He says he still gets yelled at by Vince sometimes. And then he was talking about how talent needs to take chances and don't be afraid. I know a lot of people roll their eyes about that and say, well, you're John Cena. You can do that. And I can't. And there is definitely some truth to that. But, you know, I think Cena took some risks early on in his career as well.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when the locker room was a little bit different as well. I think.
Well, his whole original rapper gimmick was a giant risk at the time that could have very easily gone the wrong direction. You know?
Right. I thought one of the more interesting things that I didn't expect to be brought up was Jericho asking him if he's ever taken steroids or performance enhancing drugs. And Cena said, nope, I've just been very lucky. I've been around the right people. I've got the right genetics. I've worked hard. He goes, I'm 250 pounds. I've been 250 pounds my entire career here with the company. You know, and like I said, you know, he talked about, you know, trying to grow the brand and take it to places it's never been before. He also talked about, you know, The Rock, and said when Rock first came in, yes, he was pissed off at him, or they were both pissed at each other for the most part. But he said some things about Rock to get him to come back. And he really pissed off Rock when he called him out for that promo where Rock had Cliff Notes on his wrist. And then he said things got better. And he said all he wanted to do was got an opportunity to go toe-to-toe with the guy and make sure that he got spots to get jabs. And he just didn't want Rock beating him up verbally. And, you know, as they went on, they worked together really good. And they have a great relationship now. Cena did admit that he was ready to turn heel when all that was going down with The Rock and had new music and a new outfit made and everything, but they didn't pull the trigger on that. And he also said that, you know, when you hear the goofy Cena promos, the poopy Cena, as they called it, he said it was his feeble attempt to show versatility and chalked it up to him taking a chance. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that got brought up, and I hope that that's something that does not continue. But, overall, it was a good conversation, and I'll be very interested in seeing that who is going to be next in line, because they're going to do this every month. And I don't know who Jericho is going to talk to next. Would it be somebody like Stephanie McMahon? Would it be a Pat Patterson? Or would it be like a Roman Reigns or a Seth Rollins?
I can't imagine that a Pat Patterson interview would be, unless you brought in an old school guy, and I include Stone Cold in that and not Chris Jericho.
Jericho had Patterson on his podcast not too long ago.
Yeah, but that's his podcast, and right. That's not on the WWE Network for a more general audience. Because you have to imagine, too, the guys that go after the Chris Jericho podcast and to a certain extent the Austin podcast are even more hardcore, because the network captures a lot of fans. Those podcasts capture a lot of fans, but not as many fans. I think Stephanie would be a good next target, and I think seeing Stephanie and Chris Jericho in the same room would be electric, and maybe even more so than Austin and Stephanie. I just still don't get the feeling that Jericho is going to have that kind of hard interview style
right.
that Austin has got down. And Austin has a cadence to it. I mean, Austin is a master at it.
Well, I thought he asked better follow-up questions. Yes. And that's what you have to do a lot of times with these interviews, is the follow-up questions are probably more important than the new thing that you're introducing. And Steve Jericho is very well respected as well. He just has a different approach to doing it. He's very much into entertainment. Austin's style of entertainment is a little bit more coarse, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's just going to go straight at him. And if you're going to have Stephanie, I think that's a difficult interview, because she masks everything very well. There's only certain places I think she's going to go. She's very corporate. And I would rather have somebody that can really turn up the fire on the burner, like Austin, if you're going to put her in the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Having Jericho, I'm not saying it wouldn't be good, but if you get Austin in there to cut through some of the BS, and I say it like that, I'm not saying that she's lying or anything like that, but, you know, is there going to be a little bit of dancing around, or is she going to be like, okay, I'm going to be straightforward and be pretty damn honest about this stuff? Austin's going to bring that out of you a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, these guys are you have to remember, they're basically politicians to a certain extent.
Yes.
In that they can give you an answer without giving you a real answer. And Austin has this level of aggression where he can push it right up to the limit. And he did this great with McMahon, especially. Pushed it right up to that ledge where you think, God, McMahon's just going to go off on him here. Ask the right questions, but get the answers and call them out. The thing that I didn't feel like Jericho did as well was call people out on BS answers. And that's what Austin could do so phenomenally. Like, no. I know you say that, but what do you really mean when you tell people to grab the brass ring? Because people are saying they're doing that already.
Right.
Jericho needed that kind of attack plan, I think, to not that he was bad. He was good. He was Jericho, and that's the important thing.
Right. But, it's just a different style, and he's going to be himself, and that's who he wants to be. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and obviously he shouldn't apologize for it.
Yep, I agree. And fans, you know, you don't understand what it's like to be in that position. I know we all kind of said maybe he's going to be soft. It's a concern. I want to see you interview John Cena and do half that good. So,
speaking of good old Stone Cold, so he went on his podcast and addressed the rumors that were surrounding him about what's going on with him in WWE. Because there's all this talk about he was supposed to be at WrestleMania, but he no-showed, and he's got heat with Vince over the last couple of interviews that he did, and that's why he's no longer doing the podcast, and they got Jericho in there. So he went on his own podcast on the Steve Austin Show on podcast one and said, first of all, he did not know Show Mania. He was never scheduled to be there. Said completely false. He said, one of the rumors was I was supposed to be on an airplane with The Undertaker headed down there. And there was a WWE employee waiting for me. And when I didn't get off the airplane, everybody went into shock and anger. That's not true. He also said that he did not turn down hosting the upcoming season of Tough Enough because he said he had been talking to WWE about doing it. It was supposed to be shot in February or March. It didn't happen. Plus, he was filming Broken Skull Challenge during that time. And as for the podcast, he just basically said, we couldn't work out a deal. He goes, I did the first couple. We were trying to make a new deal. Couldn't. So they went with Jericho. What that's all about, I don't know. I still think there's more that he's not saying, but you know what? It's a private matter, and there's only a certain place he wants to go with it. But he did say, you know what? He's always going to have WWE in his blood, and he's still willing to work with the company. It's just got to be a deal that works for him with his schedule, and it's got to be a deal that he accepts business-wise as well.
You're never going to know the whole truth. You're never going to get all the answers you want, and all of it comes down to business. And even for a guy like Austin, as much as we know, Austin loves wrestling, and Austin is all about, being a WWE guy. He's not going to show up in TNA. He's not going to show up in Ring of Honor, right? He's right. The business has got to line up. And for a popular guy like Austin who can go do shows on CMT, he doesn't have to cave in on everything as much as we'd love for him to, right? I'd love to see Austin on WWE TV every week. It would be fantastic. He does what's best for business. And it just didn't turn out this time to be doing the podcast or doing the show. And it doesn't mean it's the end of the world, people. Also, keep in mind that there are 57 days between now and WrestleMania next year. So all hope is not lost, and business deals take place every single day. I think the idea that there's heat is always misconstrued, that just because a deal doesn't go down, people say, oh, he must be in bad waters with McMahon and they must really hate him. And there's this implication there that when a guy has heat on him, that all business is off. And all that means is that at one point or another, they didn't see eye to eye on something. That blows over after time, though. That doesn't have to last forever. So,
right.
It's business. It is what it is.
I mean, there's still going to be plenty of rumors about him and whether or not he's going to be a Mania next year. Trying to put 100,000 people in Dallas, and it's his home state, and having Austin back in the ring, you would think would be a huge attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So that the rumor is going to persist. I don't think he's going to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if he's there, but I don't think he's going to do it. But I mean, if the right thing comes along, he'll do something with WWE. It's just whether or not that right thing comes along at the right time for him. So we'll see. I still wonder if some of this is about his podcast, because remember the replays of those he put up on podcast one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Jericho one is going up there on podcast one. And I wonder if maybe that was part of the deal, that maybe Austin insisted that he wanted to do that. And they were like, no, we want to keep it exclusive to the network.
I mean, I understand why they would want that, but I also kind of feel like if it's going on Austin's show, then it's not directly competing with the network. I guess that's kind of a weird double standard.
Because remember, they didn't call this Talk is Jericho.
Right.
They called it Chris Jericho Live.
Yeah.
So they called it something different than the name of his podcast. Maybe I'm being a little bit nitpicky, but I think, I don't know, it's like I'm going as a Bruder tape here or something, but that's kind of the way that I look at it, though. It's something like that. There's something going on. I'm not saying that they're mad at one another, raging pissed or anything like that, but there's obviously some disagreement about something going on here.
Right. Well, and I think you're right, because when they first announced the Austin show, they called it the Steve Austin Podcast Live or something like that. So they were real quick to refrain from this being a podcast-built show.
Right. So, who knows? If you really want to talk about heat in the business, all you got to talk about is Scott Steiner.
That was a nice segue. I see what you did there.
Yes. So, there had been some rumors about Scott Steiner getting into an altercation with Hulk Hogan's wife out in San Jose. And because of that, Hulk asked WWE, and they did this, they banned him from showing up to the Hall of Fame. So much so that pictures of Big Papa Pump were posted at every entrance, just like you would imagine, like a big headshot of him, probably in the most maniacal manner possible, and said, "Do not let this man in the building."
Is he on that deck of 52 cards the FBI has about?
Yes.
WWE has that deck too.
Dun, da, da, dun, da, dun, da, da. It's kind of like back in the day with ECW and Big Dick Johnson. Have you seen this man? So TMZ had a little bit more about this. So, okay. Here's what supposedly happened. Allegedly happened. So Hulk Hogan's wife, Jennifer, flew into San Jose for WrestleMania in the middle of the week. Supposedly, she was a baggage claim. Steiner grabbed her and said he plans to kill Terry, which is Hulk Hogan, real name Terry Bollea, as soon as he lands. So once the Hulkster's there, Scott Steiner is going to inflict carnal damage. And then supposedly, Mrs. Hogan did not recognize the big bad booty daddy. She called Hulk Hogan immediately. He took the next flight to San Jose, and they went and filed a police report the next day. Cops are allegedly investigating Steiner for, quote, felony terrorist threats. And they've already gathered airport surveillance, which shows that Steiner did, in fact, confront her. TMZ reached out to Steiner for comment, who said, quote, typical Hogan, he's just a punk. Steiner does not like Hulk Hogan, has not liked him for years. This goes back to WCW, where he would cut promos on him all the time in the ring, including one where he threatened to rape his previous wife. Somehow they got along enough, though, that where they were both allies in the NWO for a little while.
Right.
But that didn't go for well. So Steiner has also done interviews just running down Hogan in the past. Oh, and by the way, Scott Steiner and TNA have some huge differences right now. And as part of those differences, he actually has a lawsuit against Hulk Hogan. And TNA has lawsuits against him.
That's crazy. This, I mean, God, listen, my only story about Scott Steiner goes like this.
Yeah.
I walked up to him. There's nobody around him for miles, right? All the other tables have people. And he's just standing there, typical Big Papa Pump style, veins popping out of his neck, popping off his arms, popping out of his shoulders. I walk up to him doing an article, right? And I say, "Hey, excuse me, do you mind if I get a quote right now? Does that have to be anything long? But I'd love to get a quote from you for the story I'm doing." His response, he looks around for a second. "I'm busy right now. Come back later." Not a freaking person around for miles. "I'm sorry, what are you doing? Are you signing autographs? Because ain't nobody standing in line for your autographs, Mr. Steiner."
Mm.
I mean, maybe you're too busy flexing your pecs or whatever it is you do all day when you're standing around wearing those stupid glasses, sunglasses he wears everywhere. Anyway, guy is a freaking nut job.
So probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I was backstage at TNA while a show was going on, and he was getting ready to do a run-in. I can't remember if he was already a part of the company or if this was like a surprise return or what, but I remember being in the back. I don't know why I was even in the back, but I was right around where he was at, along with some other people. So he's, you know, he's 15 minutes from going out there, or 10 minutes from going out there. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine he's getting in, you know, he's doing the little pump routine, you know, workout. So he's got that stuff, you know, where you step on it and you pump up your arms, you know, and get your veins bursting and everything. Mm-hmm. So he's doing this quick little routine back there. And he's like, "Yeah, man, got to pop the veins." You can see him. He's like slapping his veins, right? He's got to get them popping out. "Yeah, I got to get it popping." And then he realizes, he goes into his bag and he goes, he's missing his can of spray for his hair to make it even more blonde or whatever. Or white or whatever. So, and he's like 3 minutes of going out. So one of the producers or whatever has to run into the next building into his bag that's over there. Has to find it, run back, gives it to Scott Steiner, who shakes it up, sprays it, and about a minute later is out in the ring, like doing a run-in.
That's funny. That's funny as crap.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The big bad booty daddy. Gotta watch my booty if I get in jail.
He's crazy. He's a crazy
dude.
Guy.
I've never talked to him, and quite honestly, I don't know if I do because he is nutty.
He was in WWE for what, a hot minute?
Yeah. If you remember, he had that horrible main event match with Triple H where they insisted on going not like 8 minutes, but going like 18 minutes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Steiner blew up after like four.
Yep.
And that match was awful.
Yep.
Just awful.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
2001 or something like that.
Yeah. So
2002.
I mentioned Tough Enough. So Tough Enough's coming back. It's not going to be on the WWE Network. It's going to be on the USA Network. And it begins Tuesday, June 23rd.
And at 8 o'clock p.m.?
Yep. And if that's not enough, USA Network, which in the past has always shied away from being the wrestling network, even though they have Raw, which they're happy to have. Guess what? They're becoming a wrestling network because they're going to have SmackDown beginning in the first quarter of 2016.
Like, did all their reruns of Psych and Suits and White Collar and whatever else they show, Sirens, and all those things go away? What happened here?
Yeah, and we don't even know what night that SmackDown's going to be on. I would assume it's still going to be on Thursday, but they haven't said so yet. But it can't be on Tuesday, obviously, because Tough Enough will be there, even though Tough Enough's only on for like a quarter of the year. But there's going to be a period where three nights out of five in prime time, there is going to be WWE programming on USA Network.
Well, how is Zombie going to fit in over there? I mean, this guy was on Sci-Fi, okay? Listen, that channel is science fiction. So how can Zombie fit in on USA Network?
That's a good question. Well, you know what the thing was? It was, okay, so it was regularly the highest rated show on Sci-Fi, except when, like, Sharknado aired.
Uh-huh.
But it seemed, it was always kind of a weird fit.
Right.
You know, when it came to having wrestling on the network that aired sci-fi shows. But obviously it fell under the NBC Universal umbrella. So that's why they did it. But
it kind of felt like a move of desperation at the time, because at the time they were on what, My Network TV, and it was going away.
Right. They were on UPN. They were on My Network TV.
They were in the CW for a while, maybe.
Yep. So they're all over the place. And then,
and that was their big thing too, was back when they were still on. The whole point of SmackDown was it was on broadcast, whereas Raw was on cable. So if you're a wrestling fan, you didn't have cable back in the day, you could at least still watch SmackDown on a weekly basis and get your wrestling fix.
Right. See, and now, I mean, it's funny because Sci-Fi is in almost as many homes as USA. But mm-hmm. USA is just a better-known network.
Right.
And I wonder what this is going to do for ratings for them. And I also wonder, like, are we going to see a lot more cross-promotion? Because we see some right now, and obviously they could do that because it's different channels, but it's all under the same umbrella. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that coming up here once they're both on the same channel.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see what it does for ratings. I mean, I think they want to keep them, you know, on Thursday. I don't think we're going to see that, especially because Tough Enough is going to be on Tuesday. But I don't think we're going to see a scenario where they end up on Tuesday and doing live shows every week.
Right. Well, maybe not immediately. Do you think that would go over in the long run?
I mean, the amount of the cost for production would be pretty big.
Yeah.
But nothing gets spoiled. I don't know. You know what? I don't think it's worth the cost. I really don't.
I think you front-end your programming too much, too. I mean, I know that the live specials have done well from time to time, but I think it's really dangerous to have live Raw, live SmackDown, NXT every week. I think that one-day break, I mean, it gives us a break to do the podcast, right?
Right.
We got to have it. Come on, WWE. You can't be on Tuesday nights.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, hey, you know what? USA Network wants them, man, and they're going to take it because they know. We know what the cost is. We know what the rating is going to be. Like every week, almost like clockwork, you can say, I know the rating is going to be between here and here. And
so
that's going to help them.
SmackDown, 2 hours, we'll say 8 to 10 Thursday nights. At what point does USA go to WWE and say, how much would it cost us to go ahead and extend that out to a third hour?
Oh, God, don't even say that.
I'm just saying, if the whole reason that Raw is 3 hours is because USA Network asked for it, because like you said, that guaranteed rating, you know what it's going to be, it's consistent. What's to stop them from asking SmackDown to turn into 3 hours?
That's the point, I think, where you really get overdone, because SmackDown's only doing a certain rating. Some of that is because you can watch Raw and you really don't necessarily need to watch SmackDown the way that it's treated, the way that it's used. And then if you really want to know, you can always read the results in advance of it even happening. If you get to that 3 hour threshold, you're talking about 6 hours of wrestling just to WWE. That is, man, that's some serious overkill, I think.
People said the same thing about a 3 hour Raw. People said it'll be over in a year. And look where we are.
I wish it was over in a year. Ratings, as you would imagine, were down compared to the previous week. But overall, not too bad for Raw, because they went up against the NCAA championship game. So last week, if you remember, they did almost 5.4 million viewers. This week, they were just below 4 million. So they dropped 1.4 million viewers. The last hour, as you would expect, going up against Duke, Wisconsin, did 3.55 million viewers. So the game actually had a pretty big dent in them. And you had Duke in there, and it was a very close game all the way throughout. So I'm sure that the game did a big number. I believe it did over 28 million viewers. It's up 33% from what it did last year.
And it was a crazy good game. It was
very good.
If you watched it, the first half ended tied.
What was the biggest gap in scoring was what, 8?
Yes, and that was early in the second half.
Right.
My wife's a big Duke fan, right? So, of course, she was watching it, and I had Raw on my phone. I was watching Raw while watching the game, too. You don't get games. People were talking about how good that Wisconsin-Kentucky game was Saturday, which was a hell of a game. But that Duke that Duke game, when they came out and played last night, God, it was just Wisconsin at times deserved to win that game. And the refs, especially Saturday night, screwed up some stuff. They weren't quite as bad last night. It was a very physical game. Coach K is just I'm not a Duke fan. I'm an NC State fan, obviously. But Coach K is one hell of a coach. So is Bo Ryan. No offense to him. That was a good team. But, man, good game. Ugh. Anyway.
You want people to go nuts?
Yes.
Guess who worked a dark match before the SmackDown tapings?
You're going to tell me? Finn Balor.
Yes, I am.
Bam!
Finn Balor.
Ooh.
Defeated Xavier Woods, or some people call him Xavier Woods. Well, Finn is going on the European tour.
Okay.
Which begins Wednesday and goes on for basically 2 weeks. So, by the way, this is the hell tour for WWE, because they leave. Some people left immediately after Raw. Other people leave immediately after SmackDown. And then you do this tour. You're over there, from Wednesday through the weekend. You do Raw and SmackDown over there. And then you're out there the entire week again. And I believe you come back on Sunday. And then you got Raw on Monday, SmackDown on Tuesday. And then you get to go home for, 2 days.
2 days.
By the time you get home, after you take your flight, you're home for about 48 hours. And then you got to get back on the hamster wheel. I think it's going to be pretty soon that Balor gets called up. And I know Sami Zayn would work some dark matches before, but, I think WWE likes Sami. They love Finn. Yep. They know that this guy should be a superstar. Not just a regular WWE superstar, one of the protected big-time stars. And I think that's going to play out here, and we're going to see him up in the main roster sooner rather than later.
How long until we get my dream match of a Finn Balor versus Jeff Hardy?
I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Come on, man.
Well, I think Jeff Hardy is more than happy staying in TNA with that schedule. You only have to work 4 dates a month?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
That's one of the things I say about Finn Balor is he's got, obviously, that Jeff Hardy kind of pull.
Yep.
And that's something that WWE has not had for a while. So,
Jeff Hardy can come back now, right? Because his career, only reason he left was because CM Punk beat him in that steel cage match on that Friday night on SmackDown. Remember, it was his final shot at the title. It was his final shot. And he said, I'll put my career on the line. He left, and, 7 years later, we still haven't seen him back yet. So,
hey, I'm... When was it? Like about 6 months ago or something. I talked to Hardy, and he wasn't against coming back to WWE, but he's staying with TNA right now because of the schedule and everything. So he's got other things he wants to do. Plus, I don't know how much more he wants to work from a standpoint of like that. I don't think he wants that schedule from WWE, and I don't think they're going to give him a break on the schedule.
Well, next time you talk to him, do me a favor. Mm-hmm. Tell him CM Punk's not there anymore, so that stipulation's probably been lifted, right? Yeah. And also tell him that even though Sting is there, they're probably not going to make Jeff Hardy fight him for the title. So, you know, we shouldn't have any kind of mishaps, we'll say, in the ring or any kind of issues like that to remind fans of what happened those years ago in TNA when Jeff Hardy had his little breakdown.
So. Yeah. By the way, one other thing. So coming out of WrestleMania, the common belief was, okay, WrestleMania 32, we get a mixed tag. Rock and Ronda Rousey against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. According to the Wrestling Observer, that is not the case. That if they get Ronda Rousey to do a match, which is still up in the air, but obviously she wants to do it, it would be a one-on-one match between Rousey and Stephanie McMahon. And then that means you'd also probably get Rock against Triple H.
Yes! 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 So excited. Yes.
I'm surprised they go that route because you can see UFC has to sign off on this and you can do a little bit more smoke and mirrors if Ronda's just in a mixed tag where she's only used very limited and can be very protected but still be very effective.
Is there any way possible that we can get the Intercontinental strap on either Triple H or The Rock by next March and set them up for a ladder match? Rematch at WrestleMania 32, echoing SummerSlam 98.
We could sit here all we want and talk about John Cena being the U.S. champion and Daniel Bryan being the IC champion right now. The Rock and Triple H are not feuding over the IC title. Okay?
Come on.
Just going to throw that out there.
Come on, man.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Can you imagine how awesome that would be?
God. Ugh. You know, I went to the NXT house show in Orlando on Saturday night. Oh man, the Orlando Armory was hopping, baby.
Was my girl there? Was my lady?
Yes, she was.
All right, was she in action?
She was. By the way, no air conditioning. No air conditioning and no concessions.
What, really?
Yep. Let's put it this way. I got there. I planned on getting there about 40 minutes before the show.
Dear Lord.
I got there. I actually got there 20 minutes before the show.
Okay.
A friend of mine was meeting me there and got in before me. He bought my ticket for me. Because at that point, it was standing room only. So, yes, we stood against...
And no AC.
And no AC.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're packing them in for NXT, buddy, at the Orlando Armory.
How many does that...
About 300.
Okay.
So, they were doing pretty good on the concessions, I think. It seemed like half the crowd either had a Finn Balor or a Bullet Club t-shirt on.
Bullet Club. God, that cracks me up.
Yes. And we did get Finn Balor in action. We had a battle royal with the winner taking on Sami Zayn in the main event to see who's going to be the number one contender.
Okay.
Tyler Breeze beat, who the hell did he beat? Dear God, what's that dude's name? Crap, this is going to bother me now.
Ask one of the other 299 people that were there.
Oh, man, this is going to bother me like nobody's business now. It was Corbin.
Mm.
Yes, mm-hmm. He'd be Corbin. Mm. Who else was on that show? I'm trying to think. Well, everybody was basically on the show. Like Kevin Owens showed up and he cut a promo. So it was a fun little show. And you know, they're talking about when they go on the road a little bit more coming up here, that they want to get in bigger buildings. Like, they don't necessarily want to hit the little ones. They want to get in some bigger ones. So we'll see if that happens. By the way, real quick, here's some of the matches. Solomon Crowe, Chad Gable. By the way, the winner of the Battle Royal, believe it or not. Hold on. What's the dude's name? Scott Dawson.
Oh, what?
Scott really? Dawson won the Battle Royal.
What?
Yeah. That was interesting.
What?
Yeah. Bayley and Alexa Bliss beat Dana Brooke and Carmella. Tyler Breeze beat Baron Corbin. Finn Balor beat Ty Dillinger. Enzo and Big Cass won a three-way non-title match, beating Blake and Murphy as well as the Vaudevillains. Sasha Banks won the three-way match against Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Woo!
Tell her if she needs some more action to come over to my place.
And then, believe it or not, Sami Zayn did in fact defeat Scott Dawson to become the number one contender for the NXT Championship.
No way. You know that Scott Dawson is from North Carolina?
Hmm.
As he puts it on his WWE profile page, he is from the Port City, North Carolina, which I assume he's talking about Wilmington because there's, you know, that's where all the port stuff is for the ocean. But I think he's just a little bit crazy, too. So, interesting.
We want to get in some questions.
I think we can do it.
Right. I haven't been as jokey tonight. Maybe I need to do that.
You seem serious. You seem like you've been talking to Byron Saxton about things.
I need to.
No, don't. You make it more serious, less entertaining.
Oh, man. Oh, don't make me do that.
That is...
I feel like my role right now, I don't claim to be a know-it-all, because obviously I'm not, but I feel like an elder statesman that should, like, give advice to some people about different things.
Like wrestling-related?
Like, I've been around. Life? I've had various people, like, that do other podcasts or have talked about... You know, I want to get into covered wrestling or anything like that. And they hit me up and they're asking me for advice. This happens to me, you know, at least once a month, it seems like.
Okay.
Like I said, I feel like an elder statesman. Okay. You know, where people ask for my advice. I don't know if it's any good and I don't know if it helps. I hope it does.
I don't even ask you for that. So
I know. Because you're just a young dumbass, but.
Wow. Again. Been nice talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your show. Let's see how Between the Ropes works as a one-man band.
There you go,
Keith,
man.
Slater over there.
Boom, boom, boom.
You can be better than this person on Slate, who apparently the question is, get this. Help, my late husband's diary is full of yearnings for his ex-girlfriend. Whoa.
Thank you. Well, that's what you get for looking at the diary.
Slate. There you go. Anyway, by the way, Facebook.com.
Yeah, when you go to
Jesus
Facebook.
Christ, let me do my bit here. Hit my music, Fritzy. Hit my music.
Oh my God, you went JC on me. Okay, do it. Sorry. Do it.
I farted. I apologize. If I offended anybody with that. That is Facebook.com/Between the Ropes. And I will be bringing in a question or two from Twitter because fans have just been dying to ask some real interesting stuff lately.
By the way, I like how Hector Solis is on there going, where can I find your podcast?
Do we answer that on the podcast?
I don't know. Why don't we go to BetweenTheRopes.com? I don't think it's that difficult.
I got real confused by that because I about said, we'll answer you on air. I realized, that might not work too well.
Hector, BetweenTheRopes.com, buddy. Or just go to iTunes or Stitcher. You'll find it.
I posted some links, but he also commented again either earlier or around that same time and put a question mark up there. So maybe he was expecting an immediate response.
Get to me now, damn you.
Right. Maybe he thought that we were messaging people directly. Mike Casalina, I think that's how you say his last name. He's got a very, very nice picture of him and his daughter, it looks like, cute little girl, up on Twitter. He wrote in directly, can you please read and answer a question on the show?
No.
What were your reactions? Okay. Sorry, Mike. Better luck next time. What were your reactions when WWF changed to WWE? Well, Mike, I got the F out.
Dear Lord. This is why I'm hosting and you're not. I didn't like it. And it was funny because it was like for the dumbest reason. I know that they'll say that it was for the entertainment thing, but it was because basically they let the copyright lapse, or the agreement that they had on the copyright lapse with the World Wildlife Fund over in the UK. And it was a worldwide trademark or copyright. So basically they had to do it. But, you know, I still miss being World Wrestling Federation. At least they kept the wrestling in the name, which I think if they could have found a way to get it out and it still kind of sounded okay, they would have done it. Because Vince McMahon has basically tried to steer his brand away from having wrestling in the name, even though that's the basis of what they do. Because, yes, I know they're entertainment, but guess what? Bottom line is, they wrestle.
Well, they basically have gotten rid of that now, when they don't call it World Wrestling Entertainment now. It's just WWE.
Right. Yeah. They
don't even whole push a couple years ago.
Yeah. They don't even say what the letters mean. Right.
I remember at the time thinking how dumb it was, how dumb. I mean, I know why they did it, because they could change the logo so easily from being a WWF to a WWE and just add an extra line in, or they just took off the two lines and made it WW. My whole thing when it happened, what made me so angry, is back then they would call everything the WWF. So right here, Jim Ross, right here in the World Wrestling Federation, anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. And you couldn't do that with entertainment, because it doesn't make any sense. Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Entertainment. Mm. No, it's not. You know, when it was a federation, it was a noun. It was the WWF. So they call it World Wrestling Entertainment as this vague thing. It's not a specific noun. It's not the WWE. It is just WWE. And it sounds kind of dumb. Saying WWE is real hard in the tongue, and I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I like federations. Old school, rah, rah, grumble, grumble, grumble.
Mm-hmm. What a maneuver.
What a maneuver. Okay. Getting to our Between the Ropes Facebook page. Ooh, wow. We got up to 16 questions here.
Yeah.
Starting off with Anthony King. What do you think will happen first? Vince Russo in the Hall of Fame or Scott Steiner in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, dear God. Neither. Steiner, but he's hurting his chances.
Oh, man. Neither one of those guys are going in anytime soon.
Right.
If ever.
Russo is not going in.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff has a much better chance than he does.
Do you think Bischoff will go in?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think it will happen anytime soon?
No.
Okay.
10 years. Or maybe 7. Whenever they feel like they need somebody to fill a spot.
Do you think the rumors are true that Bischoff was brought into WWE at the time just so Vince McMahon could say that Bischoff worked for him?
Yes.
I agree.
I think he did, and I also think it was because it was also a good business move. The better business move, though, would have been to bring him in right after the fall of WCW.
Sure.
If you brought in Bischoff then, and if you had paid the money, bought the top guys out of their contracts with Time Warner, that being Goldberg, Sting, Flair, if you had brought them over immediately with Eric Bischoff, dear Lord, that would have been hot. Even as hot as the invasion angle was, which was good, but never lived up to the billing. And a lot of that was because they just didn't have the top guys over there. But if you had done that, brought the top guys over immediately, you had Bischoff, and you did it the way that it should have been done, I mean, you had a good year, 2 years right there.
I think the biggest thing about it was, while you said on TV it was WCW versus WWF, and then eventually they called it the Alliance because they had to bring in Paul Heyman and ECW, you had to bring in all those ECW guys and make it Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon. And it just felt like this watered down WWF version of an enemy rather than actually being WCW. And that's why the brand ultimately failed, because, you know, at the time they were going to want to make that their second show. WCW is its own promotion. WWF is its own promotion. But you couldn't do that because you just didn't have enough guys there to prop that brand up. I think you're right.
And they didn't, they still treated it like it was the enemy, even though they owned it.
Yeah.
It was their own guys. I mean, hell, there was talk that they were going to change Raw to Nitro.
Yeah. God.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy. Can you imagine if that would have happened?
I remember at the time even thinking and going, if you're going to change a show, wouldn't it be your Thursday night show? Wouldn't it be SmackDown?
Can you imagine, like, what we did, the 20-year anniversary of Raw as Nitro?
Oh,
30,
God.
1,000 episodes.
That's insanity.
Oh. Oh, man. Speaking of jumping the shark, Jeff Franciski writes in, has the term WrestleMania moment jumped the shark? Has the term jumped the shark jumped the shark?
I don't think WrestleMania moment has, because it is a big thing. But I think it could be overused in what people think is a WrestleMania moment.
Okay.
How many of those really are there?
Right.
Did
Roman Reigns have his WrestleMania moment this year?
No, absolutely not. But right. Seth Rollins had his.
Sure.
Daniel Bryan had his. Well, the whole thing is it a match
but then
or is
he
it
had
a moment?
His, he had his last year.
Right. But that's the whole thing. Do you consider a WrestleMania moment a match? Do you consider it a moment? A part of a match? Like, Mick Foley had his. But it was when he put Edge through a flaming table.
Mm-hmm.
What's Shawn Michaels? You could say a lot of them for Shawn. But are they just a match? Is it something particular that happened in a match?
It's overused. I do kind of agree that WWE likes to overuse it for everything. And basically, if you show up at WrestleMania, then you're having your moment. And you can't tell me Los Matadores in the opening pre-show match were having their WrestleMania moment by losing in that contest.
Right. It's got to be something that stands above everything else. They're really like, wow, look at that. Look at what just happened.
Yeah. Has the term jump the shark, jump the shark? Yes, because everything jumps the shark now, apparently.
Bunzi jumped the shark.
Right, the OG shark jumper.
Yep.
Superfan numero uno Francis Reyes writes in with his list of 15 questions, as always.
I think it's three, but...
AJ Lee gone. Okay, this is an easy one. Do you think AJ Lee gone that now that it is the total divas era for women's wrestling? No. Watch NXT. Question number two.
You know what I really wonder if they're going to do? And I don't know if they can do this because of that Total Divas show. I want to know if and when they will actually change the Divas division to women's division.
Mm.
And I think that if and when, say this is they're doing another season of Total Divas, okay? Say that's the last one. I think once that's gone, that's when they would do that, make that change.
Gotcha. Yeah, that could work. I like this question because it's relevant. Francis wants to know, what would you like to see different from this coming season of Tough Enough? Because the only person who did great was Cameron, who thought Melina versus Alicia Fox was the best wrestling match ever. Is that a separate question or tied into that? I don't know. Anyway, different things on this season of Tough Enough. What do you want to see happen differently?
Aren't they doing some different things where there's like certain challenges or whatever that they have to do?
Sure, I think so. I think that they tweaked it enough. So I went back and watched the first season on the network because I'm dumb like that. Enjoyed the hell out of it. But they tweaked it enough in those years afterwards. You know, they had that one year where it was on SmackDown. Whenever they brought it back with Austin as a trainer, Booker T as a trainer, Trish Stratus, or Austin was the host actually. But anyway, when they brought it back, they had tweaked the format down to a science. And I really enjoyed it because it was about what can you do in the ring? How are you proving yourself? It was an hour long. Very entertaining, but focused on the business and being tough enough, and not so entertainment-y, not so reality-based. I enjoyed it. I think that was good, and they had some great challenges on there. It was a great balance of learning to be a wrestler and giving us good, solid, quality television, wrestling-related. I liked that new season. I don't know that I'd trade that much for it.
Well, they're going to do live elements, more fan participation. I'm not exactly sure what that means. We'll see. It doesn't look like Austin is going to be a part of it. I don't know. Maybe he still will be. I don't know.
Got 2 months. 2 months. They'll film in what, May? They'll start filming in May.
Yeah, I'm not sure when they even film. I mean, remember the last season, the people involved were Austin, Bill DeMott, Trish Stratus, and Booker T. I don't know if any of them are going to be back. Maybe Booker T.
Yeah. Bill DeMott will not be back. He was a good addition to that show, too.
If you're going to have a female on there, I don't know if you can get her to come back, and I don't know if there'd be a lot more intrigue. But if you didn't have Trish, would you want to go maybe Beth Phoenix, who's retired?
Okay. Yeah.
Or would you want to go Alita, who's retired? Or would you want to go somebody like Natalya, who's on the roster right now?
I think you go, I think the audience you appeal to with Tough Enough is a little bit older wrestling fans.
Yep.
And so I think... she would be great. Natalya would be awesome in that role. Lita would provide a lot of intrigue and knows the business.
Yeah, Lita or Trish Stratus.
And Trish Stratus is an obvious pick, I think.
They bring in Medusa for it.
God. Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
Yeah. There you go. Just came up with an idea there. Run with it, everybody.
There you go. Speaking of ideas, Tim Clements writes in with his steps to a great WrestleMania 32 main event.
Must hear.
All right. Lesnar versus Rollins at SummerSlam. Lesnar is attacked by the Authority and put on the shelf until the Rumble. Roman wins Money in the Bank. That would have happened before SummerSlam, so your steps are out of order there, Tim. At Survivor Series, Daniel Bryan takes the belt off Rollins in a war, and Roman immediately cashes in on a beat-up Bryan. Lesnar returns at the Rumble and wins in a monster fashion. Monster face Lesnar against monster heel Roman. Vince writes me a check. So basically, we're getting to Lesnar, Roman.
Oh, you mean the match that I suggested would probably happen for Mania next year, last week on the podcast?
Uh-huh. This is the way he booked it, though. What do you guys think?
I think that Tim's stealing my idea.
Okay. So instead of writing him a check, we should file some paperwork
against him. I think so. You know what? I mean, a lot of that makes sense. The big question, though, is would they want to put the belt back on Bryan?
Mm.
You know, I don't know if that's in the cards for him anytime soon. You never know when, like, he's going to get super hot again, when the company's going to get behind him again, if there's injuries that force him into that role. I don't know. But as it stands right now, I don't think he's going to be a world champion anytime soon. I'm not saying it's never going to happen again. I just don't think it's going to happen in the near future.
Right. All right, we've got time for maybe two more questions here. I know there are 20 more questions up there, so I apologize. Matt Maux, I don't know if I said that right, writes in to say, since Fritz's Lakers are nowhere near the playoffs, who is your favorite to win the NBA Finals?
Ooh, like it. I know a lot of people say the Cavaliers, who started to play better in the second half of the season, and obviously they got LeBron James. I don't think there's still, I think, a good bet to come out of the Eastern Conference, because the Atlanta Hawks are really falling apart. I think most people would say the Golden State Warriors are the odds-on favorites to win because they've had the best record this season in the NBA, and I think they have a very good chance. The team that is really lurking, though, that is getting healthy now, and you really have to watch out for, the defending champion Spurs, who are finally getting healthy. Tim Duncan is a cyborg. I don't know how he's still putting up good numbers and playing as well as he does. He plays that old man style ball where he doesn't leave the floor, but it's incredible what he does. Tony Parker's getting healthy, and the big thing is Kawhi Leonard finally healthy. And I was listening to a podcast the other day about some of the numbers that he's put up since February, since he's come back, and they're big numbers. And that guy, not only is he very good on offense, but he is a hawk on defense, just a hawk. And when he is healthy and he's playing like this, they're an extremely tough out, and they've got so much playoff experience, and plus they're the defending champs. Quite honestly, I mean, nothing against the Warriors, not great their season has been, but I think the Spurs are probably the odds-on favorite.
And I let you answer that question because, for me, the basketball season ended last night at around 11:30 with one shining moment. So.
One shining moment.
All right. Not that you guys didn't ask some
great
questions.
What version of Shining Moment did they play?
The same one they play every year?
No, they changed it a couple of years ago and people got pissed.
I didn't know that. I think it's same one.
Was it a female or a man?
One. It was a man.
Okay, good. That's the real version.
Shining Moment. I thought it's been the same one for years.
No. Look back. They had a female.
It's so like 90s. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, unfortunately, the man that sang that song has passed away, I believe.
It's such a great tradition. Like, to be able to play that song, and it's slightly cheesy.
Are you kidding me? Overwhelmingly cheesy.
Very cheesy. But the way they tip it, you know, it plays with the music.
Mm-hmm.
One more question. Let's see here. You guys asked some great questions. Sorry we can't get to them all. We'll have to do another Q&A extravaganza sometime, it looks like. Josh Bellamini. Although we didn't get it last year, the WWE went through a couple-year stretch where they gave us something fresh and new as a shot on the arm at the beginning of each summer. For example, the Nexus or the CM Punk promo. Is there any way we get something like that this year? If so, any predictions on who or what that might be? Like that big – I mean, the Nexus angle was – huge. The Punk thing was big. I think both of those happened late summer, not beginning of the summer.
If I had to guess, it only because I've seen his trademark, I would not be surprised if you saw not the Bullet Club, but you saw Balor Club.
Hmm.
WWE has trademarked Balor Club. So maybe that would be the big thing. They would recreate the Bullet Club, but call it the Balor Club.
I think so. I think the time is right for something like that to happen. I think a good faction run. I mean, and you think we had the Punk year, and then we also had the Shield come up. I think it'd be something with the younger guys, and I think it might even be a face duo or a face trio or a face faction, because you have for all their glory, right? You have the authority up there every week. So, you know, maybe some younger guys get together and say they've had enough and decide to take the fight to the authority. I don't know. I'd love to see the Balor Club. Yeah. If that's a thing that happens, God, that'd be fantastic.
By the way, four different artists have sung One Shining Moment.
Oh, Lord.
Composer David Barrett sang it from 1987 to 1993.
Oh, God.
Then Teddy Pendergrass sang it from 94 to 99. Luther Vandross sang it from 2003 to 2009. And then in 2010, Jennifer Hudson sang it. Fans hated it. And since then, they've gone back to Luther Vandross. Okay. And that's the version they traditionally have.
Hmm. One more question.
How is it that I know more about that song, and you're the college basketball fan between the two
just
of us?
Just because I just always assume it's Luther Vandross, and the years I don't look up who was that sang it. I do remember now that you mention it, the woman who sang it, but I think that's the year Carolina won a title, and at that point I just tune everything out.
That's soon to be isn't that Jennifer Hudson? Isn't she the one with David Otunga?
I don't know how soon it is. They've been engaged, or and maybe they're married now. I mean, it's been going on for a while. I like this question. We got to make it short. I got to get off here. Carrie J. Frampton, how would you book the final four of an 8-man King of the Ring with today's superstars?
Oh, dear God.
Just you don't have to don't book it all the way out. Just give me your four names on that list with a possible winner.
Can't be the world champion then, because he's already got the championship.
Right.
I guess you could put in the IC or world champions, right?
Yes.
Or US.
Yep.
Final four, I think you'd have to have Daniel in there.
Okay.
You'd probably have to have Roman in there.
Okay.
Maybe you have Sheamus in there.
Okay.
And would you possibly have Cena in there?
No. I like your list. I would do Bryan. Reigns makes a lot of sense. I think in the opposite bracket, you have a young gun like Neville, maybe, or Balor. I love the idea of having a young guy in there.
King Balor.
And I don't know. We could I just don't like the idea of putting too many veterans in.
Well, Sheamus already has the gear for it, okay?
Sure.
So, you know.
Cesaro could be another good fit.
Ooh, King Cesaro.
And I think you let Cesaro or Reigns win that.
God, you'd have to turn Reigns heel if you won that damn thing.
Sure, it would be awesome. But
King Reigns. Can you imagine like if the promos him being a heel, especially if he came out with like the scepter and the crown?
All right,
People already think he's entitled.
Right. So, okay, I'm going to book it anyway, even though we said we wouldn't. I think in your semifinals, you have Bryan and Neville. And in the other semifinal, we'll go with your idea and we'll have Sheamus and Reigns. Your main event, Reigns and Bryan tear down the house. Everybody gets upset. Reigns wins. King of the Ring. Done. And on that note, Fritzy, take it home.
Send it in, Jerome.
Well played.
Onions. Everybody can, of course, go to BetweenTheRopes.com, and you can see all the work there and check out the podcast there. You can go to Facebook.com/BetweenTheRopes as well. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Downcast app, all those different places that you want to listen to it, subscribe to it. Please do. And also, please rate us and review us, especially if you're on iTunes or on Stitcher. That really helps us with the feedback and really helps the podcast as well. So we hope that you will do that. So don't forget, you can also go to youtube.com/BetweenTheRopes, and you can see our video interviews that we've done, especially the ones over WrestleMania week. We did, I believe it was 9 of them all together, including Kevin Owens and Tyler Breeze, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, Stardust, Paul Heyman. So there's a big list of those. You can go check that out on our YouTube page and subscribe to the YouTube page while you are there as well. And we'll have some more video content that's coming up. And also coming up, should be by the time that you're listening to this, within a few hours of listening to this podcast, you can listen to another podcast with Hulk Hogan as I sat down with the Hulkster, as he will be at MegaCon coming to Orlando this weekend. And in fact, he is going to be not only signing and taking pictures on Saturday and Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern, but on Saturday night, he's going to be doing Hulk Hogan Uncut. It's a special Q&A with fans that you can buy tickets for. It's going to be hosted by the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. So everybody can check that out. And if you want more information about that, you can go to megaconvention.com and find out all about the convention and tickets and see all the lineup that they have and more information about Hulk Hogan being there as well. So look forward to that, and we'll have some other stuff later on in the week. And thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.